Did I want to say the story of the Rav Ozner with the Shotke Vareva? The story of Rav Ozner and Shotke Vareva. Did I want to say that? It's a story that gives a huge amount of chizik. Did I want to say this? Did I say once? You will remember. Rav Ozner's bracha. It gives a lot of chizik, this story. Can I share it with you? Okay? If I've said it, please interrupt me, okay? Don't be polite, just interrupt me, okay? There is a famous story that has been going around for a few years now about Rav Ozner, Zecher Tzaddik Livkocha Lishivcha, the Poisek Hadoy. He was Mamash the Poisek Hadoy, it was Nifta, how long ago now? Well, a year ago, no? Yeah, maybe a year ago, Cholam, was that on Yom Tov? A year ago, 1.5 years ago? Yeah, Mamash recently. So the story goes that there was a lady in Vienna that came from a regular kind of background, nothing to write home about. No Rabbonish background, no Dayanish background, no Rosh Hashivas there, no big fancy VIPs there at all, on the contrary. And the daughter there she had a very, very beautiful voice to sing, a really beautiful voice to sing, a really, really special voice. And they wanted. I said it? Okay. You haven't heard it? Chazor, okay. Did I really? Okay, so you're invited to say the story. The Chazor. Yeah. Wasn't Hamadi as well? Okay, I have an additional knaich to the story. A knaich, which is, I think, the spitz of the story. Okay, so I'm going to say it very briefly. She had a very beautiful voice, and she wanted to develop the voice. It came to a point that she was even invited to sing in opera. She had like the career, she had an opportunity, a career opportunity, because the voice was so exceptional. And she had a very big desire to actually, she, imagine that, to have an opportunity like that, a once-in-a-life opportunity to develop a career. And but obviously, to sing in the opera in Vienna, it's obviously against halacha to say it in non-certain terms, but she couldn't. She was really torn about this. She was really torn, and the father was a very simple, very straightforward balabos. He at least convinced her to go, and that's the story. Is a few nuschos, but I think it was probably the Shotke Vareba. It looks like it was Shotke Vareba who was then in Vienna. That's what it looks like. Some say it was Chofetz Chaim, but that doesn't seem to be right. Some say it was Meir Shapir. That doesn't seem to be right. So it's probably the Shotke Vareba. And it went to the Shotke Vareba, and the Shotke Vareba promised her that if you are Mevaton, that if you give up this beautiful career, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get something even greater than that. You're going to have a son who's going to be shining light in Kali. So if you give up all this, I promise you that that's the bocha that I can give you. And indeed, that's just about made her stop, and she gave up that career, and indeed, she got married a few years later to a balabos. He wasn't anything, he wasn't a star on the horizon. Simple, straightforward balabos, and their son, the name Shmuel, and that eventually became Shmuel Vozner, the Poisek Hadoy. Okay, that's a true story. Now, I want to add a knatch, that which I heard from one of the Rav Ozner's grandchildren, which is that I think it's even more powerful than that. You know who I'm referring to. Yeah. I think that's the most powerful part. The grandchildren of Rav Ozner, this story only went around a few years ago. I remember when the story actually started going around, about 10 years ago. The story started going around, and the grandchildren of Rav Ozner then wanted to ask him if the story is true or not. Did I say this part as well, Abiyosel? Yeah? They wanted to ask him if it's true or not. Is the story true or not? He forever refused. He didn't answer. That's whether the story is a true story or not. He didn't want to answer. He didn't answer. He never said yes, never said true. And he didn't want to answer. Until at one point, it was very shortly before his Ptira, finally one of the grandchildren got through and I said, well, tell me, is this story true or not? And if not, what? And he admitted, he said, the story is true. That wasn't said, he was in his 90s, then he said, the story is true. So they asked him, why don't you say this story? Why don't you admit about the story? And he said, because it would pass on the wrong message. If I'd say that the story is true, people would say, oh, look, Rav Ozner, I said, if I was ever zeichet to Torah, if I ever got to anywhere, any stage in Torah, it's because of the bracha of the Shotke Vareba. So the Shotke Vareba was very, very great, and whoever gave the bracha was indeed a very, very great tzaddik, a very great man. But ultimately, the message would be a misleading message, because really what it boils down to is to sit and learn Torah. And that's what Rav Ozner did. He sat and learned Torah for 90 years non-stop. And that's if somebody wants to reach Torah, somebody wants to reach any level of Torah, and then it's because he sat and learned Torah. Brochas help, and it's all very good and very nice. But the underlying message would be wrong. So therefore, he didn't want to get into details of the story. That's what Rav Ozner. I think Rav Ozner's addition, I think, is even greater than the actual story. Okay, sorry for repeating myself. It really gives a lot of chizik. It gives a lot of chizik. Just think about it sometimes. It's much amazing. Pardon? Absolutely. I couldn't agree more, yeah. I just saw Chaznish writes in the Igres, I saw just yesterday, Chaznish writes in his letters, said that a person can very easily become actor of his own actions. It's an unbelievable thought. A person can very easily, but just accustomed to do his own things, until he just becomes an actor of his own actions. That you put on film because yesterday you did, and the day before you did, and the day before you did, and you just suddenly become, you without even thinking. That's mitzvahs anoshim melumado. You don't even think about it. Yeah. Okay. Dini akira makre simin kuf mem aleph page 46. Zoich likrois moment seif aleph. Leaning has to be said. The person, the bal koyre, needs to be standing while it's leaning. Ve'afilu lismoich atzmo lakoysel. The person who leans may not even lean onto the wall, or la'amod, or to the beam. Also is not permitted. You're not allowed to lean either. Elohim kein. Unless ubal boso, he's an owner of flesh. In other words, he's a bit more meaty, yes. So Balboso, if he's a bit, then you'd be permitted. V'chein ha-chazen, similarly, the chazen ha-koire, tzorich lamod im ha-koire. So the chazen ha-koire, tzorich lamod im ha-koire, this is referring to, what is referring to, a chazen ha-koire, tzorich lamod im ha-koire, means that if a person is an aliyah, he must be standing as well. That's in our terms. Mishnevus have cotton aleph, tzorich, the leaning which is taking a place in Tzibu. We are learning from a pasuk because it says v'ato poi amoid imodi. V'ato and you poi here amoid stand imodi with me. Mashma afil Hashem is poach hamakre leMoshe. Even it appears that even Hashem, who is calling Moshe, it would appear as if he's standing as well, because the pasuk says, "Vato and you, poi here, amoid stand imodi with me." That would imply that you have to stand with me, and it's Hashem talking, so that implies that even Hashem would be standing. V'im kein, therefore, kol shkein even more so, shekol Yisrael yoyim dim ibn eima zekodosh bochu, hanoisin oiso. Everybody was standing, it's a pchen of eima, and therefore you have to be standing. V'amrinon oid, k'shem shenit no be'ema, just like the Torah was given in Emo, in a sense of fear, in a atmosphere of utmost respect. Kach onu tzichem linoik bo be'emo, so also we need to have slight fear. Mikol mokim b'di'evet shikorom yushav yotzo, if a person was leaning sitting, he's still yotzo b'di'evet ve'en tzor chlach, so v'likos, it doesn't have to be repeated. Yes. So we'll speak more about the gaba. Here we're not learning that it doesn't say explicitly needs to stand, but we'll see the Mishnah Berurah of Kotan Tezvav. We'll give more about that. Sivkotan base is a chiddush. Sivkotan base says as follows: Vafilu lismech atzmo, even leaning is not no good. Hainafilu smich ktsas, even a little bit of leaning. Shem yinot lo yisidova, if this item would be taken away, lo yipol, you wouldn't fall. Gam can also, it's still also. So chlamit be'emo, because you need to stand in fear. So generally lismech, we have come across in earlier areas of halacha the concept of leaning. Where did we find the concept of leaning? Pardon? Vidui or Shmoneh Esrei, very good. In various areas of halacha, we've talked about leaning. There the halacha is, how do you define leaning? So that's right. If you take it away, in my example now, in the example I'm now, so that's called leaning, because if the stand would be taken away, I'd flatten my nose, right? So that's called leaning. However, if you just leaned in a way that if the item would be taken away, you wouldn't fall, that's not called leaning. Okay, so generally the concept of leaning is defined by if the item you're leaning on is taken away, do you fall or do you not fall? That's the way we define smicha. Here we are learning that smicha is different. Even if you're leaning in a way that if the item were taken away, you wouldn't fall down, nevertheless that's called leaning. So what does that mean, halacha lemaisa, if you're by the bima and you have an aliyah? What does that mean? You have to really ensure not to lean. I don't know what would be permitted. Suppose any, how would you define it? No, I'm saying what is permitted? So leaning is not permitted. You have to stand straight. Are you allowed to? I suppose you're allowed to put any weight onto the beam, or is that all considered? Pardon? Yeah, but the person oile also.
You're supposed to be holding onto the sacred
Torah, right? Right, so it's practically saying it's fairly difficult. Yeah.
I don't know.
So I suppose that if you put weight onto it, genuine weight, that would be considered smicha. Touching is probably not a problem.
It does say later in the word, not just a balbosa.
Correct. And Mishabosef Cotton Talit indeed says, let's see this indeed inside. Helem ken balbosa, somebody who is heavier, vuadin, choyle, somebody who is unwell, or izoken, somebody who is old. Very old. If he's unable to stand without leaning, he is allowed. So those people who actually need to lean, they would be allowed to lean. But you should be only as much as necessary. For and you should try to avoid leaning so much. Try to avoid leaning as much as only as much as necessary. That's really what he means. If you really need to lean a lot, he needs to lean onto something. Mutagamzera also be permitted. Pretty much lie down on it. Shetashmish kedusha. Remember that it's a tashmish kedusha. The mapa shal shulchan. The cover is tashmish kedusha, and you shouldn't be leaning too heavily on it. Elo ala shulchan atzma. If you need to really, really lean heavily on it, try to lean on the table itself and not on its cover. Now, Asif Kotten Hay actually addresses your point as well about the gab of Chena Chazna Koy. Asif Kotten Hay says, "What in Asgan Shoyimid Itzal Asif Torah." That is what we would call the gab nowadays. There's also he's also has a requirement of standing. He's not allowed to lean either. Okay. Okay, see base. Loy yikru shnayim. One has to always ensure that laning has to be done by one person and not two. Not two people to lane simultaneously. What does that mean? Elo oile koire shliach tzibur shoysek. Either the oile, the one who is called up, he lanes, shliach tzibur shoysek, and the other person standing is quiet. Oi, alternatively, shliach tzibur, in other words, the bal koire, lanes, the oile, the person is aliyah, lo yikru bekol rami, should be quiet as well. Mikol mokoim, nevertheless, tzorich olikrois im ha-shliach tzibur, he should lean together with the bal koirem, kidei in order, shaloi said, birkosoi levatola, that his bocha shouldn't be in vain. Helo shetzorich likrois benachas, he should lean quietly, shalei ha-shmiya le-oznov, that he shouldn't be heard. Va'afil ma-shmiya le-oznov le-kelamechash, even if he leans a little bit louder that he can't be heard, it's still okay, to le-odiv mitfilah, because it's no worse than tfilah. We're learning now a very important halacha. We'll see soon what the Mishnah Berurah says and the Bi'alacha says on this. We're learning that it's only one person who should lean. So traditionally and historically, there was the person who had the aliyah, he would lean, and the person next to it would be quiet. How does it work nowadays? Nowadays, the person who's the aliyah, he doesn't lean. It's the person, it's the Baal Koyer who leans. So what about the person who's an aliyah? He's not allowed to lean loud. Why is he not allowed to lean loud? As the Mishnah Berurah says in Seif Katan Vav, lo yikru shnayim, the trei kol eloi mishtame. There's a rule that we know from many other areas of halacha that trei kol, two voices, loy mishtame, are not heard. So this rule applies here as well. You can't have two people leaning simultaneously. So if the Baal Koyer leans, the person who's the aliyah should be, oh, so he should be quiet, because trei kol eloi mishtamoi. We've got a problem though. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. What is the problem about the oile if he's completely quiet and he doesn't say a thing? We've got a problem there. What's the problem? Boche levatole. The Shulchan Aruch's nusach is boche levatole. Why is it boche levatole for the oile? Why is it boche levatole? Why is it boche in vain?
Thinking the bracha
for
himself.
Good. Because really, the Chazal Rum is second, you make the bracha on the Torah. So if you're actually reading, you're laning the Torah, that's perfect. But if you're not saying anything, you've got a bit of a problem there.
He's having a shaliach, he thinks
Very good. So it seems from here, well, this is what the Bialocha says. Shulchan Aruch's words is that it's a brocha levatole. It's brocha levatole because you're making a brocha shebrocha bonu, and you're not saying a thing. So you know, you've got a problem over here. You've got a problem. You know, you have to, some lane, you have to lane. So Shulchan Aruch's etza is, say it quietly with. And that, Rabbeisa, is the halacha. There's a problem of brocha levatole. You need to say it, but ensure to say it quietly. You have to dance on, it's a very subtle, it's a tight rope, because on the one hand, you have to say it, on the other hand, you mustn't say it loud. You're spoiling it, you're messing it up if you're saying it loud. You have to say it quietly in a whispering tone. As to whether you can hear it with your ear, or it's mamash quiet, that you can't even hear it, that's not much of a big deal. Ramos says you can say it loud enough, you can hear it. But certainly not loud enough, because otherwise you're going to run into trouble of Tei Kolalei Mishtameh. Yeah.
Why is it different to Abdullah and Kiddush and other things where you can tuck your mic to somebody else and not be yoked to yourself?
Very good. So, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it would appear that the Takana was differently. According to Shulchan Aruch, we'll see what the Bialocha doesn't learn, is going to address this question. But according to Shulchan Aruch's simple understanding, it's... I can actually read Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Yud's words. That will help. Sifkot Yud says levatole the loy mistabe sheivoy choile. It would make sense that the oil makes a bracha al kriya shliach tzibur, on the laning of the shliach tzibur. It doesn't make sense that a person makes a bracha and somebody else lanes. It's a bit like learning Torah in a way. Imagine you'd say asher bracha bonu, and then somebody else learns for you. It doesn't really work. Well, of course, shemek ha'oined, there's all discussion, etc., etc. But in principle, if you make the bracha, you have to lane. So now, the Mishnah Berurah, the Bialocha, asks a very posh question, and the answer is not so clear, Rabbi Yisai. There's a question, the Rama early in Siman Kuf Lamed Tes, Siv Gimel, could we just go back to Kuf Lamed Dalet, Kuf Lamed Tes Gimel? Can you look at the end of page 42? The Maril. Can you see the bracket just before Siv Dalet? What does the Maril say? Morama in the name of the Maril. Have you got it? Yep. Siv, it's just before, it's Siman Kuf Lamed Tes, just before Siv Dalet. Oh, let's just make sure we've all have got it. Can you find it? Click. The Rama says in the name of the Maril, O Maril Kos of the Arch of Kore Summe, a blind person can be a Baal Kore. Commission of Makin Baturil Amoritz, no worse than Amoritz. So what does that sound? A blind person, we're talking even a blind person is permitted. So therefore, blind person and Amoritz. Clearly not reading. Right? Clearly not reading. Now, unless the Sefer Torah is in Braille, we're talking about a Summa who is not. So if a Summa, so what's the question? If a Summa, if you already like in the, I'm not there yet. We're saying if a Summa, if a blind person can make a brocha, then it's not a bracha. Certainly, somebody who cannot read, he's also not saying. He says somebody's not reading with. He's also not making a bracha. Make sense? What about Amoritz? Rama says Amoritz, somebody who can't understand, can't read. He's also not. Why is that? How can he? Why is he not bracha? We're learning that Amoritz, he can make a bracha. So why he's not? He's clearly not reading. So why is he not bracha? That's the Bialocha's question. That is the Bialocha's question. Now, The first answer is a very simple answer. That what did you hear the kasha? What did you taina? Shamei Koine. And therefore, but what does it work? I'm saying you're answering the stira. So how does it work? The Shulchan Aruch says it's loyte because el vatole. We're learning it. If you don't read with, it's a brach levatole. So how did that? So manafshech. Is it a problem? Is it not a problem? Do you have to read with? Yes or no? We've got manafshech.
Yeah. You know this
yeah. Yeah. Good. So lemaisa, the straight answer, the first answer the Bialocha suggests is that could be taka. The Rama is choylik on this halacha. First answer is, and the Rama could be that the Rama, the Bialocha maybe Bialocha says could be that the Rama is choylik on that. He just doesn't quote it over here because we find occasionally a concept that the Bialoch is choylik in one place, and later on he assumes that, you remember, I was choylik two weeks ago, I'm still choylik over here now. Ramah is a rule in the Ramah that applies in many areas, that the Ramah does not go to Tana Bat when he's choylik. When he disagrees with the Pesach of Shulchan Aruch, he'll sometimes point it out once, and the second time he assumes that you went to Dishun, you remember what was learned 2 weeks ago, and that he's not going to point it out again. So Mishnah Berurah, Bialoch suggests over here, could be Taka, it's not a Baal Havatola, because Sloy Gora is no worse than Suman Am Oretz. You don't have to actually read with, and you're still going to be Yotze. Bialoch and later on, it's a whole shtick of Torah, and he wants to be Mechalik, but Lemaisa, it's not so posh how he leaves it. He's got a whole shtick of Torah, and he says there's a distinction between a Suman Am Oretz to a person who just didn't read. Ein Shombatim Tzinachas, it's not so portion. Here's where Aloch Lemaisa, what we need to remember is that according to a Mahalach, there's no clear Mahalach over here, it appears. Mishnah Berurah himself, it doesn't seem to be very, Aloch Lemaisa, it's definitely a Shail of Bochel Avatol if a person doesn't read with. It could be that one could be miyashavit. How does it work how does everybody read with? What happens? I was wondering, what if you go to shuls that people are not so confident readers? What happens then? What happens then? So is it brachal atol? I want to ask a shaila. What happens if you are a rav of a shul and you know that Yankel, Beru, and yeah, he can't read. He can't read. Now, I want to know that, is there a problem allowing him, never mind the Rav, if you're the Gabba, is there a problem of allowing him to have an Aliyah LaTorah? You know he can't read. I know that he can say the Brachas. He can say Shebuch Abonu. He can say Shana Salonu. He'll be alright with that. But I know that the Leining, he's not going to be able to say it. He can't. I don't know, is there a problem or not? Is there a problem to allow someone to have a Aliyah Torah if he can't read? Right? You see, it should be worse than Suman Am Oretz. But you're saying that could be according to Rama or not. Yeah, according to that post potential Malach in Bialoch. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I hear that. That's right. Absolutely. Could be. But could be. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That's a very good point. I think that I saw some. Does he mention it on the side over here? You're right. It's brought down in Samach Vav, Sivkot and Chavav. That's the Ha'orah number 4 over here. Yeah. So you're right. You're quoting Ha'orah number 4 in the name of Reb Shlomo Zalman. Reb Shlomo Zalman Taka says, Mamash, what we just said now. He learns that, like this first teretz of the Bialocha, that's what you're suggesting, that Ramo is Cholik on Shulchan Aruch. That's Reb Shlomo Zalman's Mahalach. Unlike the second Pshat in the Bialocha. Yeah.
I didn't say this, but I wonder if that Roy Olim, even from Olim, who haven't, got over the Kriya and don't know it well, with no Nekudas.
It's difficult.
They might not. So,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
If you don't know the. Absolutely, yeah. 100%. If you don't know the actual laning sometimes, it's the actual psukim. So I think that the answer has to be, and that seems definitely, as you point out, that's definitely what Shem Zalman learns. Bialoch is not so. I'm not confident to say that's the Bialoch of Paskins, but definitely that's the Shem Zalman Paskins, and that we're assuming that the Ramah is Cholik on the Shulchan Aruch without even saying it. Have you got difficulty with that, or do you think that's okay? Do you feel that we can learn like that? Yeah, Bialoch doesn't. The Ramah is not Cholik over here. He's Cholik 2 weeks ago. But, yeah, what do you think, Rabbi Feingold? How is that? It's not Poshet, huh? Yeah, okay. Good. Siv Gimel. No, unfortunately. Time's flying. Let us recap what we learned tonight. We learned that the Baal Torah needs to stand, person who has an aliyah should stand, the gaba should stand. If it's a balbos or chole or zokain, there is leniency to be, one could be leaning. If there is no absolute necessity, one shouldn't lean at all, even not the slightest leaning. Leaning has to be one person. If you've got two people leaning simultaneously, you've got a problem of tei kololoi mishtama, that you can't have two people leaning simultaneously. If a person is called up and he leans himself, no problem at all. If a person is called up and it's about koira leaning, you've got a bit of a problem there, because on the one hand, you mustn't lean loud, because tei kololoi mishtama, but on the other hand, you have to lean, because otherwise, the Shulchan Aruch, you've got a problem of bocha levatola. Therefore, suggests the Shulchan Aruch, you should lean quietly with. Bracha levatola, is indeed a bracha levatola? So at the first glance, the pashu Shulchan Aruch is it's a bracha levatola. Bialoch suggests that maybe according to the Ramah, it's not a bracha levatola, because Suman Am Oretz, the Maril says, allowed to make a bracha. So it suggests that maybe it's not a bracha levatola, because it's no gora than a summa and a Am Oretz, that the bracha doesn't actually, is not actually said on the leaning. And right, okay, more on this tomorrow, Beza Hashem is Baruch Shemayim.